Now, friends, as we come to this little book of Habakkuk, and I dare say that this is a little book that you haven't heard many sermons from it. I began preaching on it about, I suppose, somewhere around 35 years ago. And I used to ask congregations if they'd ever heard a sermon on Habakkuk. When I first started out, no one had ever heard a sermon on Habakkuk. But I find today that there are many preachers that have found their way to this little book. And it's one of the many of these so-called minor prophets, but every one of them is a major leaguer, as we found out. Now, we've put together here Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. And they have a great deal in common. Each one will give a different facet of the dealing of God with mankind, both in the way that the government of God is, as it were, integrated into the government of man, and also God's dealings with the individual. So that is one of the important things about putting these three little books together. Another way in which they are quite similar, actually, they all come from approximately the same period. In fact, they could all have been contemporary, and the possibility is that they were. But it's very difficult to nail down to a specific date many of these prophets. In fact, many of the books of the Bible, you can't come up with an exact date always. And the reason is that that's really not the important thing. But obviously, Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah all fit into a period between Josiah and Jehoiakim. And in that same period, you have Jeremiah also. He fits into this period. The northern kingdom had gone into captivity, and the southern kingdom was right on the verge of it. And after Josiah, every king after him was a bad king. In fact, they abused the title of being a bad king. So we have to follow along here by putting these three in the same time capsule, and they apparently belong together. They're rather contemporary. Now Habakkuk, though, is certainly different from the others. He's different from Nahum. Nahum dealt with just one nation, Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And God was right in judging them, and not only right, that God was just and righteous and a God of love. And still he could judge them because he is all three. Now Habakkuk approaches this problem from a little different viewpoint. Here's a man that's got problems. And his problem was that he thought that God was doing nothing about the iniquity of his own people. And it disturbed him. He says, why don't you do something? And I'm of the opinion that a great many people feel very much the same way about, well, why doesn't God move in the affairs of men today? Why doesn't God do something about the condition that is in the world today, in our own nation? Why doesn't God move in? Why is he permitting man to get by with so much? Well, we're going to find out that was the problem of Habakkuk. In fact, his problem was multiplied. God answered that question for him and said to him, I'm preparing a nation that's going to come and take this nation into captivity. Unless they change their ways, they'll go into Babylonian captivity, and I'm preparing Babylon. Now, if you think he had a problem before, he's got one now. And the problem is, why will you use Babylon, a nation that's definitely more wicked than your own people, more pagan than your own people, more given to idolatry and to sin than your own people, and you're going to use them to punish your people? God said, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But you see, God says, I'm not through with Babylon. I will judge Babylon then. And this is my method.